I'm excited. You know, as you know, over the past few weeks, I've been preaching every week code to get you into 2020, because we believe it is your banner year. And in 2020, with 2020 vision, you're going to see your hopes and dreams become a manifestation in your life. We believe that it is also our jubilee, because I turn 50. Come on, somebody shout 50. Come on, not 50, 50. Come on, somebody, 50. And Jubilee, 50 means Jubilee, where all debts are canceled, all prisoners are released, and all property goes back to its original owner. So with that being said, today we're going to talk about pride, because your life is going to get so good that you're going to have to look out, because it's not just going to be that you're good looking anymore. Come on, somebody say amen to that. It's not just because you got a great personality. Look at your neighbor and say, you got personality. But it's because God's about to bless you in a really, really big way. And pride, the problem with pride is sometimes it happens and you don't really see it, because pride will blind you. Pride will blind you. So you got blind spots while you're driving, blind spots. And so I want to talk a little bit about that. And it kind of started with me. St. Louis will know this. Florida, just bear with me. There's a street in St. Louis called Lindbergh, and you would be cruising back in 1985. And there was a thing called parachute pants. Anybody remember parachute pants? If young people don't know about this, Google it. It was the thing, man. So you got these parachute pants. They're kind of like, I don't know, this weird material. They got zippers there. And then if you were really a player, you had a beeper. Come on. And so the beeper was on there, and you didn't have a cell phone. Back before cell phones, there was a thing called a payphone, okay? Google that as well. So you get a number, and the number, if your family needed you to call them right then, it'd say 911. I mean, call right now. But I would cruise down Lindbergh, and I had a really cool car, and on Saturday night, I'd get it just right, and you got it all shined up. The armor all is everywhere, and then you turn the volume up just right because you're listening. Florida will know this song. Dun, 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 dun. Ice, baby. And then it would go into a melody that was somewhat anointed, like, I like big butts and I cannot lie. Those that they go through all these songs. So you pull up to the red light and you'd see a girl, but you wouldn't quite look, but you'd kind of look, but not too much. And you rev your engine, not over the top, just enough to try to get it. How am I talking to today, right? At the end of the day, it was pride. Everybody shout, it was pride. And there's a difference between being in pride and being proud. On every parking lot today in St. Louis, you know, some little car, it says on there, I'm proud of my honor student. And then on another end of the parking lot, it says, my son beat up your honor student, right? So we're all proud for different reasons. We all have different qualities, different similarities. But at the end of the day, God wants to do something big in our life. And so he's really concerned about us staying grounded, us being aware of the blind spots and shifting into the right gears. Okay, Proverbs 8, verse 13, it says this, the reverent fear or respect, that word means, a worshipful awe of the Lord includes the hatred of evil, pride, arrogance, and the evil way, and perverted, twisted speech. God said, I hate pride. I don't want you to mess with pride, because pride actually makes you less attractive to God. He said that God gives grace to the humble. He gives grace to the humble, but he resists the proud. How many of y'all don't want God resisting you? You want God giving you grace for your business, grace for your marriage, grace for everything you need. You need God's grace. Now, we want to choose humility. Everybody shout that. I choose humility. And look at your neighbor and say, it's hard because I'm so good looking. Go ahead and tell them. Even if it's a faith commitment. Yeah, I love this statement. It says that humility is not thinking less of yourself. It's thinking of yourself less. Isn't that great? You ought to write that down. It's not thinking less of yourself. It is thinking of yourself less, okay? So we need to say, hey, why am I always trying to be the hero? I do this sometimes because of insecurity. I'm very insecure. You wouldn't think it, I mean, because I'm just like outgoing, right? But sometimes I mask my insecurities through pride. It actually makes me less attractive. It makes me a bad leader. Because my insecurity, my inferiority, I'm in fear that, I'm a homeschooler, y'all. All these people come to our church and a lot of you guys have all the, and girls have all these degrees. Y'all been to every kind of school in the world. And I'm just like, man, I feel insecure. But then I realize, you know, how do I get secure? God chose the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. So he was looking for the biggest fool. He picked me. I'm just glad I got the job, right? So that inferior, that insecurity actually brings out not humility, it brings out pride. When you really don't want to be that way anyway, but we need to say, hang on, I want to shift into the gear of humility. Proverbs 6, verse 16. All campuses, check it out on the screens. It says, these six things the Lord hates. So if he hates them, we need to know about that. Indeed, seven are an abomination to him. Verse 17, a proud look. The spirit that overestimates himself and underestimates others. A lying tongue. I want you to shout that. A lying tongue.
A lying tongue.
He hates that. A proud look. Have you ever been in a situation where you saw some people that were so arrogant or prideful, you're like, man, if I had the money they thought they were worth, I'd pay off the church today. I mean, yeah, all debts would be canceled because I could pay off the church today, Sunset. But we're like, no. Now, first of all, we don't need to be judging people that are prideful. I need to look at my own life. Because oftentimes I tend to look through other people's lives with a microscope. I look at mine with a telescope, and I go, hey, yeah, you're pretty good. Look what you did in spite of everything you've been through. Even with my kids. Your kids can do something bad, and I'll be like, those are bad kids. My kid does something bad. I'm like, they must have been hanging out with your kids, right? But we all know preachers' kids are the worst kids. It got quiet. You guys love my kids. I love them, too. I'm just saying, I was a preacher's kid. All right, so the Lord hates this. He said, the spirit that overestimates himself and underestimates others. Pride makes you make other people feel little. When you know you're a good leader, how many of y'all want to be a good leader? Raise your hand on all campuses. Come on, I want to see all hands on all campuses. Okay, so the best leaders make people not feel little, they make them feel big.
That's right.
They don't make them feel little, they make them feel big. Wow. Saying stuff about, I couldn't do it without this. Like right now at Weldon, Ferguson, Sunset, all the campuses, Ferguson, Florissant, all these campuses right now are receiving a stream while I'm in Florida. You're like, why are you in Florida? Well, two reasons. One, God told me to start giving these words to you at all campuses to get you ready for the greatest year of your life. So I need to do the preaching. That's one reason. The other reason why, when I woke up, it was 43 degrees in St. Louis and it was 79 here. That'd be the second reason. Come on, I ain't going to lie to you. Right. Next week, pray it gets warmer because I am preaching in St. Louis. So it says that he overestimates himself and underestimates other people. If you want to get bigger in life, give other people credit. Now, I'm not talking false humility, and at the first service, I didn't get into this. That's why it's good to go to double dipping. False humility is I say, wow, you're a great singer, and you go, no, it's not me. It's the Lord. Hallelujah. Boy, that's a really good idea. It wasn't me. It's the Lord. When really on the inside of your heart, you're like, dang, I did kill that song. I am pretty smart. I'm not saying don't say, God bless me with that. It was the Lord, but you're not in pride about it. Does that make sense? So don't say, try to act like false humility, like, no, it's all like this sermon right now. I feel pretty good about this sermon. Even if I do say so myself, I'm not in pride about it, but I am proud about it. So I'm going, hey, God gave me a gift. So I got to embrace that. So St. Louis knows Florida clapped. So I think hopefully you guys participated. I didn't mean it.
Yes, you did.
So now check this out, though. Here's something I do sometimes. It goes, and a lying tongue. I had you say that audibly a moment ago because I want you to talk about the lying part because I want to talk about it. I hate to admit that I lie, but I would be lying if I told you I didn't lie. Now, I know a lot of you are disappointed because other preachers have never told you that. That just means they're a bigger liar than I am. Come on, somebody help me right now. They haven't got to this point. Sometimes, under pressure, I am tempted to lie. St. Louis, Florida looks very scared right now. They're like, I've chosen this guy with my spiritual path. Yes, okay. There was a text string. Today I have an appointment, I think, at 2:30 in Palm Beach. And there's multiple people on this text string. And I was charged in this text string with saying, I'm going to find out if these people can join this meeting. I said, I'll let you guys know. I let that lapse for a day. I said, I'll let you know in a little bit. I forgot. So then Nicole calls me out in front of everybody. It was the right thing to do. She didn't think it was a big deal because it wasn't a big deal. She just said, hey, the next day, how's that going? come on, raise your hand if you didn't feel my pain. Okay? How's that going? I had a choice. I could lie and say, I'll get back with you in a minute and see how that's going. That'd be lying. Transparency is different than even honesty. Honesty is if I ask you, did you steal the cookies, and you say, yes, I did. Transparency is saying, hey, before you find out there's seven cookies missing, I did it.
Yeah.
So, oh, that's good. Nicole said that's good. Everybody shout, that's good. Maybe she was talking about the cookies, but anyway, that's good. That's a good cookie. See the difference? So instead of saying right then and there, hey, my pride's hurt, I forgot, I just said, I forgot. I'm sorry. Give me a minute. That's honesty. The liar in me kicked right up. I feel so alone. Honesty, such a lonely word. I'm so old, I'm the only one that knows this song. Anybody know? Who sang that? Who? Who? Wasn't Lionel Richie. It's Easy Like Sunday Morning. Billy Joel. The winner is Billy Joel. If you don't know a phone booth and a beeper or Billy Joel, just stick with me. A lying tongue. Everybody shout, no more lying. The Bible said to put away lying. Pride says, I need to lie, I need to cover up. Humility says, I was wrong, I'm sorry. And I want us to shout it at all campuses. Shout, I was wrong. It's not a shout. You're saying, I was wrong. Try it again. Come on. Say, I was wrong. And I'm sorry. Come on, all campuses, one more time. Humility. Now, what that does is it makes people love you more. When you say, it's my first pass, I don't know how to be a dad. I don't know how to be a pastor. It's my first chance. Give me another shot, would you? People tend to give more grace. God gives grace, and the God in people, because people were made like God, they tend to give grace to humility, and they tend to resist pride and go, hey, you're going to have to eat it. Come on, give God praise today. You got to get it right. Pride is a credit hog. I did it. It was me. They stole my idea. I got to let you know it was my idea. Anybody ever had an idea? Somebody sold your idea in a meeting? You didn't raise your hand. I'm assuming you're the sucker that's stealing our ideas. And they didn't get your idea, so you're like, that was my idea. And your flesh is going, tell them. And you're like, oh, get hardly. I don't even enjoy the rest of the meeting because I really need you to know this was my idea, because my insecurity and my pride won't shut up. My pride's like, are you going to let them take you down like that? You don't even have an education. All you had was this one idea. And then my spirit's like, I got a good idea. Shut up. You shut up. And then I say, hey, just so everybody knows, I contributed to that idea. Actually, I contributed a lot. Like you. Totally my idea. And everybody's like, oh, okay. That's nice. And then you're like, again, your pride's like, that wasn't enough celebration. Somebody help me right now. Why do I feel like, God, I told you this is a bad idea. I told you, just deal with me. Pride insists on its own way. I heard about two ducks and a frog that lived on a pond together. They'd frolic along all day long, had a great day, and then the pond dried up. Not a problem for the two ducks. They could fly to the next pond. But the frog, he's got a problem. He can't fly. So all of a sudden now the frog says, I got a great idea. How about you put a stick in your mouth? You put a stick in your mouth. You guys bite down on it. I'll bite down on the middle stick, and you guys fly us together to the next pond. It's a great idea. So they start doing it. Of course, the frog's kind of heavy, and they can only get about 50 feet above the farm, and they're flying along, and an old farmer sees them. He said, that is a brilliant idea. That's so smart. I wonder who thought of that. And the frog said, I did. Sometimes when we open our mouths, come on, somebody ought to give God praise. We mess the whole thing up. We mess it up. Am I helping anybody just besides me? I'm talking about the ride of pride right now. James 4, verse 6 says, God gives more grace, wherefore he saith, God resists the proud, he gives grace to the humble. Verse 7, key component of our city, listen to me. Submit yourself to God. Resist the devil. Resist pride. Resist. I want to resist the devil. Well, the devil's full of pride. He's full of arrogance. He's not full of grace. And the ride of pride is not a fun one. It drops you like the frog to the bottom. It ruins the marriage. It makes your wife love you but not like you. Nothing worse than loving somebody and not liking them. You can love somebody but not like them. I'm not asking for a show of hands. I'm just saying that oftentimes it's pride that causes a wall. But if you want to have the catalyst of change, if you want to thrive into a new opportunity, if you want the banner year to be different, you've got to say, hang on, I'm not going to allow all this narcissism and this narcissistic, devilish way to contaminate my heart. I'm going to shift down into the humble gear, and I'm going to say, you know what? I was wrong. I'm sorry. This gets us ready for the banner year. It also, and I want to talk to corporate leaders at Sunset Hills, Weldon, Ferguson, our city, all campuses. Corporate leaders, is very important that you understand. that an organization can only go so high and it keeps hitting glass ceilings. We did it at 1,000 people. We did it at 5,000 people. We did it at 10,000. We did it at one site. Then we did it at two. Then we did it at three sites, four sites, five sites, six sites, seven sites, multi-site, multi-culture, multi-state. It's a monster. This thing is crazy. So at each new level, as a homeschooler, I had to go, what book do I need to read to try to figure out how to run this organization? Because I didn't qualify to be the leader. Because after all, by the way, I wouldn't hire me if I was me. If I saw my resume, I'd go, not going to do it. The guy doesn't have it. But the good news is I started the church, so I'm grandfathered in. Hallelujah, right? So, but now I look and go, that guy wouldn't be the guy. But if God chooses you and you choose to stay humble, God can continue to stretch your mind. That's where I got the statement, a mind stretch never goes back to its original size. And then you get to stay instead of saying, the problem is the leader slip. Leadership. Leaders slip. The leader slips off into pride and arrogance, and he cannot take the organization to the next level. And if you study Walmart, you'll see Sam did that. If you study Nordstrom's, you'll see what all happens there. If you study JCPenney and the life of that man, you'll see that humility mixed with drive made the difference. I read the book, and you should read it too if you're a business person. It's called Good to Great by Jim Collins. Good to Great. And he explains the transition in CEOs' lives. And how if you can't grow with us, you can't go with us. So we have to have the right mix of drive and humility. Drive is our city. You're sitting there right now. That building is what, 150,000 square feet? It's incredible, right? 177,000 people drive past it, see all those parking spots, that mega massive church, unbelievable. Well, it took a lot of fighting. When we bought that, we had to fight cities. We had to fight municipalities. We had to fight for the taxes that were $800 a day. Every 24 hours, we had to give them $800 for that. If you look at, if you're sitting at Ferguson, Florida, we had to fight for that. Weldon, we had to fight for that. Sunset Hills, we had to fight for that. I woke up fighting. I fought every day of my life, but I had to have the humility to say, God, it's you, and teach me how to fight, because if not, you become bitter, and you can't be better and be bitter. So there's this fine mix of saying, I need to shift it down right now. And corporate leaders need to understand, humility makes you attractive. Everybody shout, humility makes you attractive. All campuses, shout it.
Humility makes you attractive.
And for all the Catholics in St. Louis, shout, humility makes you attractive. Come on, Sunset Hills especially, it's 70% Catholic and Lutheran. Humility makes you attractive. It does. God resists the proud. He gives grace to the humble. So if you want a revolution in your life, if you want a better attitude, then we need to find out what the scripture says. My uncle went to Bible school. My dad did not. My dad asked my uncle. I was standing there. I was like 13. He said, hey, I'm reading the Beatitudes. What does that mean? Like, what does that stand for, the Beatitudes? And my uncle said, they never taught us that in Bible school. So my dad came back down about 2 hours later. He said, I've been with the Lord. And he told me what it means. My uncle says, what is it? He said, Beatitudes are the attitudes that ought to be. I said, boy, that's really good. The attitudes that ought to be. I never forgot it. And I never went to Bible school just like my daddy. Because obviously, they did a bad job on my uncle. Come on, somebody help me right now. Verse 3 says, blessed are the poor in spirit, or humble in spirit. For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, or we could say humble. For they shall inherit the earth. Inherit the earth, that kind of sounds like all property going back to its original owner, right? That kind of sounds like God's getting ready to do something big in your life. So we got to humble ourselves, because the pride could be the temptation that would keep us from being and maximizing. Come on, somebody give God praise. I like it. I see it right there. I see banner here all over that right there. Now, check this out. It says, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. In other words, when we give mercy, we get mercy. In traffic, I've done that. Pulled out in front of people. My fault, but I don't know them. And my pride went, act like it's their fault. It wasn't their fault. It's my fault. Then I've tried this. I'm sorry. And they're like, that's no big deal. Don't worry about it. Go on. Which is very unusual for me to drive like that, because I'm a pretty superior driver. Anybody else? Come on, raise your hand. All campuses. It's weird how we all go to the same church, but it's just factual. But if we do this, people tend to shut, it's okay. But if we're like, no, it's your fault. As soon as we do that, we got a problem. What is that that's keeping us back? It's pride. Show mercy, get mercy. This works at home, by the way. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. You want to see God in your marriage? You want to see God in the banner here? You see God. Also, I just heard the Holy Spirit say this. Blessed are the pure in heart. Thank you, Lord. For they shall see. God is love. For they shall see love. If you want to see more love in your home, be pure in your heart. Hey, I'm sorry, Austin. I shouldn't have said that. I say that at staff meeting all the time. I got riled up. We've got a conference room at Sunset Hills. If you're there upstairs, there'll be a meeting there in the morning about all today. And we'll talk about everything. What I was wrong about, what I was right about. They'll talk about what they were wrong about, what I was right. It's just a very friendly room, but sometimes it gets intense at different times. And there's this long, long desk. And then the other day I got passionate about something because what I'm passionate, period. We could talk about peanut butter. I'm like, I love peanut butter. It's unbelievable. If you ever put peanut butter and chocolate together, unbelievable. And then I don't realize how amped up I am till somebody else says, yeah, it is really good. And I go, wow, it was way too much firepower for peanut butter. Come on, see what I'm saying right now? So I can't shut it off. It's just on. So in meetings, I will tell the team, I'll be upset about something or riled up, and then I'll go, hang on, guys. 5 minutes ago, I just can't get it out of my brain that I was way too fired up. I shouldn't have done that. And, man, I'm sorry. And people don't go, yep, we need to get rid of you. We knew we need to get rid of you. They always honor that. Now, they model that. I'm not talking about being a martyr. I'm talking about being honest and go, man, I'm messed up. So if you mess up on Monday, don't wait till next Monday. Go on Tuesday and say, honey, I should have never done that. When I kicked the cat, I should not have kicked the cat like that. I shouldn't have kicked the cat. And inside, she might be thinking, after you kicked my cat, I thought, I can't wait till you kick the bucket. But now I'm thinking maybe I'll go ahead and put the brake pads back on your motorcycle right now. Because how we react and respond determines how other people feel. Can I get an amen? Come on, every campus, say amen. Is it helping anybody besides me? All right. So, verse 9 says, blessed are the peacemakers. You want to be blessed in the banner year? Be a peacemaker. For they shall be called the sons of love. But if you're persecuted for righteousness' sake, theirs is the kingdom of God. Sometimes we're persecuted. People speak, verse 11 says, they speak all kinds of evil against us falsely, especially today on Facebook or Instagram. I get judged for everything I say. And sometimes I want to take to Facebook and go back at them. I mean, these are my friends on Facebook. Friends, close friends. I have 50,000 of them. So my close friends on Facebook, they don't always know my heart. I'm like, that's not what I said. That's not what I meant. And now I can get bitter or I can get better and say, hey, let's talk about it, guys. So while we're here at church for a minute, I'm doing the best I can. Could I do better? Yeah. Am I trying to do better? Yeah. Now that I'm 50, I'm doing better. It seems like the older I get, the less fight I have. I'm just like, I don't want to fight you about it. I mean, it's no big deal. It's like, oh, you want $1,000 more for the car? That's fine. You want to sit there? That's fine. That's okay. That's fine. Because I'm just like, that's fine. Because as you get older, you realize why it doesn't really matter. When I was younger, I had to wear certain things. And, you know, all you girls used to go to Six Flags or Disney World with high heels on. And your little tight skirt. Now you're like, city. You're like, I'm Velcroing my shoes on. I'm going to walk up in that place. And I'm going to enjoy my... Somebody ought to help me right now. I ain't wearing no Spanx. It is what it is. Now, I ain't waiting 30 minutes till I go swimming. I'm going to go swimming and eat at the same doggone time. Who am I talking to right now? Wave your hand if you don't care. All right. Now, I want to put up a slide. This is going to fire from my computer. This is what I'm looking at right now. They're going to put it on the screen at all campuses. And get ready to get out your phone. You might want to take a picture of this. This is what I'm seeing. Pride focuses on others' failures. On the other side, flip side, and take a picture of it if you want it. Humility realizes how far they fall short and have an overwhelming sense of their need to grow up. Pride, second line, says self-righteous. It's self-righteous. It's overly critical and fault-finding. Humility, on the other hand, though, is compassionate and forgiving. And for the sake of time, I won't go through it because you're smart. You can figure it out. But the scary part is if we're not careful, we allow our insecurities, our need to impress on Instagram and all other forms of social media to actually alienate us and be lonely. Even though we're together so much, my daughter was telling me yesterday, she said, you know, it's funny how now a lot of my friends and the people my age are really depressed and they feel really alone. Yet we're actually all more together than we ever were. I can't imagine when you were young, back before electricity, dad, and, you know, hang on. We had the Brady Bunch in color. It wasn't good color, but anybody remember the Brady Bunch? Come on, somebody help me right now. She said, you guys seem to have better mental health. because you had, I guess, more camaraderie and actual togetherness. I'm talking to you online right now. It's okay to hide behind the screen when you're like sick, but it's not okay to say, I don't want to go to church because I feel overweight. I feel unattractive. I feel like people are looking at me. I feel suicidal. I feel depressed. I feel all these things are feelings, and feelings are fickle. And I'm begging you today, if you'll come to this church at any of the campuses, we're going to make you feel loved, esteemed, appreciated, secure, come on, valued. You're part of us. How many of y'all give God praise today? If you'll do that, don't hide behind the camera. Live stream is for if you live too far away. Live stream is for if you're sick. But the Bible said, when the evil day approaches, do it all the more. So I'm saying, humble yourself by the mighty hand of God. Be more like Jesus. Jesus, he chose the path of saying, I will wash the feet. Don't be the one that says, I'm too big for that. I'm too high and mighty for that. No. We want to go low, and the lower we go, the more God will lift us up. Can you shout amen? Proverbs 29, verse 23, it says, a man's pride will bring him low, 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 low. Come on, let's all sing it together. Low, 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 low. Come on, all campuses, what? Low, low, low. How low can you go? Come on, ask your neighbor, how low can you go? Look back at him and say, I don't know. But if I go too low, can you help me get back up? A man's pride will bring him low. It just brings you low. That's why God hates it so bad, is he knows in the barrier of 2020 that he wants to exalt you. He wants to take you to a better marriage. He wants to bring that significant person into your life. He wants to advance you into your organization. He wants you to have the corner office at the View. He wants you to have the certain car. But instead, we're not going low. We're not humbling ourselves. We're not honoring God. We're trying to honor ourselves. And when you honor yourselves, it's all about you. And it should be all about Jesus. I saw a poster one time. I just thought of it. And this poster had it looked like this. It was a pole, and there was a turtle sitting on top of it. And the caption said, I didn't get up here by myself. Somebody obviously had to take the little turtle and had to put him there. And every Sunday when I have the opportunity to preach to this church, I feel like this. I didn't put myself up here. You know who did? All the people who started with me in Fenton and helped me build it. All the people who went to Earth City and helped me build it. All the people that went to Earth City and Sunset that said, yeah, we'll buy Weldon. And then all the people who was okay with me going to Florida, because there are a lot of great churches in Palm Beach County, but God needed a faith church here. And you guys said, go ahead, Pastor. We're not worried about your presence. We're worried about his presence. And we don't care how we get the information. Somebody ought to give God praise today. We will respond to the voice of God, because there's hurt people whose lives need to be changed forever. Look at your neighbor and say, that's good. First Timothy 6:17. We're getting ready to go back to the racetrack, but watch this. Charge them that are rich in this world. Now, don't think that's not you, because God's about to do a banner your blessing in your life. Charge them that are rich in this world. God's getting you ready now. Don't be high-minded. Don't be lifted up in pride, I paraphrase. Nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who gives you richly all things to enjoy. That they do good. Charge them that they do good. That they be rich in good works, ready to distribute and willing to communicate. Here's what's imperative. Tithing is a prerequisite with the blessing. Fuel is a necessary thing in a car. Have race car, no fuel, no race. Have race car, have fuel, have race. Have airplane, no fuel, no flight. Have wood, no fire. Yeah, okay, so you can have a fire, but then when the wood goes out, the Bible said, no wood, no fire. People do this. They go, fireplace, give me heat. Fireplace say, give me wood. People, God said, God, give me money. God said, give me money. Because every seed harvests, you can't plant corn and think, where are my tomatoes? God, I told you, I want tomatoes, not corn. No. We plant love. You'll never get love until you give love. You gotta give love to get love. You gotta give money to get money. You gotta give time to get time. God's saying, charge them, get ready for the banner year. Go ahead, give God praise. Blessing that's about to happen in your life. Go low so you can go high. Go low so you can go high. I don't want to serve in the parking lot. I run a company. Go low so you can go high. You're the first person that somebody saw today. I don't want to work in the nursery. Do you realize that that little kid could be the president of the United States, and you could actually need something from the president at some point in your life? Everything is possible. I'm just here to tell you today, be nice to the people on the way up the ladder because you might meet them on the way down the ladder. The key is be grounded and love everybody. Come on, give God praise today. Check this out. Let's go back to the racetrack one more time.
Here's part of the problem in life. Many times in life, there's a twist, there's a turn. Something happens that causes us to crash and burn. Nothing worse than one of these cars doing 190 miles an hour upside down on fire. Thank God for paramedics, right? They're all over here right now. You see them everywhere. And they're here, so when that does happen, they can be first responders and help settle the issue and save somebody's life. That, by the way, is what church does. That's what God does. That's what small groups does. That's what people with proper training at church do. They save people. But the main scripture I want to deal with just for a second is the Bible said that pride comes before a fall. A pride comes before a crash. So many times, especially as guys, women have it too, but it seems like guys have this ego. This, I don't need help. I got this. I always do this. I don't need instructions. These cars are designed to perform strong and to stay on the road. It's when we abnormally use it, we take a twist and a turn improperly, that we end up damaging the vehicle in which, you know, is designed to keep itself on the ground. And we're designed that way. You know, the Bible says we're fearfully and wonderfully made, that God has a plan for our life, that He has a future for our life.
And up in the stands is a guy speaking to us. He represents the Holy Spirit telling us, somebody's coming up beside you, there's a big turn coming. And because these racetracks are designed to where you don't need to slow down in the curves really, you just continue to go because of the way the track was designed. Well, life is that way though. You need somebody speaking to you, telling you, listen, you're doing 180. You've been redlining a long time. And yeah, I would rather somebody speak to me that there's a danger ahead and go ahead and swallow my pride, then have an ambulance come out on the scene, and I look like a scene from Talladega Nights where I'm running around in my underwear on fire, right? Pride takes on stubbornness. Pride takes on aggravation. Pride, some people are mean-spirited. Pride takes a lot of forms. Identifying pride is very, very important. Listen to that still, small voice and identify pride.
Come on, give the Lord a great hand for technology. I love it that we're able to just go on a field trip there. The point I really want to make from that is you are a vehicle of high speed. Everybody say, I am the vehicle God wants to use. Then, of course, we know that guy represented the Holy Spirit, who was talking very loudly, by the way, and they told us in the training class before they just gave us those high-performance machines. They go, listen, it's going to sound super loud in your ear. He's going to be screaming. But when the car gets turned on, the decibel level is going to go so high, you're going to struggle with hearing him. So don't gripe about how loud it is, because when we turn it on, you're really going to need to hear. May I tell you today on Sunday at all campuses that it's kind of quiet and I might seem kind of loud and annoying. But on Monday, the world happens and troubles happens. And on Tuesdays, it gets really, really loud. And the Holy Spirit will remind you of the stuff that you're learning on Sunday to take in on Monday so your life can bring the banner your blessing. Come on, somebody. We're not part of a sermon. We're part of a movement. God is doing something supernatural in our church. And I just want to make sure that we're grounded. Grounded. Everybody look at your neighbor and say, are you grounded? I looked up the word humility, and it comes from the Latin word humus. Some of you put that in the mix of your soil when you're potting plants. Humus, it's called the humility. It says the ground under us, humus, the sons of the earth. The same origin of the words mean human being, humanity. It means that we're all created from the ground, and we're all equal in God's eyes. And God's asking us today, if you have money, are you still going to be grounded? If you have a good looks, are you still going to be grounded? If God's given you a great voice, but you don't want to use it from Him, but now you're going to work at wherever you work, and you're going to disobey God with an ignorant attitude, are you going to say, God, I'm so gifted, and I'm so great, I'm so awesome? Are you going to say, God, I wouldn't be any of this if it wasn't for you? So God, I listen to the still small voice that's going to keep me from coming ungrounded, from losing my mind. Let's go to Ezekiel 28 verse 11, it says, and the Lord said, so this is God, pay attention, to Ezekiel the son of man, sing the funeral song to the king of Tyre and tell him this, saying, at one time you were perfect, intelligent, and good looking. Everybody shout, that sounds like me. You lived in the Garden of Eden. You wore jewelry made of brightly colored gems and precious stones. There was all kinds of gold there. And you were ready, it was ready for you on the day that you were born. And I prophesy over you that the banner of your blessing is ready for you. Will you accept it? Everybody shout, I will accept it. He said, I've appointed a winged creature to guard your home over the holy mountain where you walked among these dazzling gems of fire. You were truly good from the time of your birth, but later you started doing wicked things. I don't go to church. I am in pride. I do it my way. Verse 16 says, you traded with other nations and became more and more cruel and evil. So I was forced to leave my mountain that I created for you. And the protector chased it away. It was your good looks that made you arrogant. I looked up the word arrogant. It says a sense, an exaggerated sense of one's importance. You're arrogant. You're so famous, but you started acting like a fool. So that's why I threw you to the ground and let other kings sneer at you. And your ashes are actually where the city once stood. Let me tell you something real quick as we start closing this thing up. I love the United States of America, but I fear for the United States of America because we do not regard, love, God, taking God out of everything, taking God out of the church, taking God out of our life. May I tell you that one day, even this day, you will need God. But the day that is coming, they'll really need God. And there's a remnant called Faith Church and other churches who are saying, you know what? God, you have blessed me. I'm not going to get all prideful and arrogant and think that I'm too busy to go to church. If God gave you 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, and you have breath in your lungs, appreciate today, value today, love today, honor God. Honor his house. I'm preaching right now. And he said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Come on, I want you to give him some good praise today. Earth City, Sunset Hills, Ferguson, Weldon, church is a big deal. It shifts you out of deceitful, vain, heady craziness, and it shifts you into humility. Some of you today at all campuses needed a shift in humility. It was going to wreck your marriage. It was going to keep the corporation from advancing you up. Pride was going to blind you so much that you wouldn't get to see the promised land. You wouldn't get the full manifestation of the banner of your blessing because pride would keep you back. Next week at all campuses, I'll be broadcasting from St. Louis talking about the vision of the church. Stuff about even this church that I believe in December 31st, by 2020, we will physically own our own building right here in Palm Beach County. Come on, somebody. Like we do at all the other campuses. That's where we're going. Can I get an amen? We're going to talk about where you're at right now emotionally, spiritually, and physically. And I designed a plan that's going to help you get to where you need to go. But this is part of the plan. Whenever you miss this and you don't downshift, you don't go in at one point halfway through the race, they made me go to a pit stop. The guy said, you know, the Holy Spirit. The guy goes, go to the pit stop. Slow down, go to the pit stop. And there, a group of dream teamers, basically, they got around me and they checked my lug nuts to make sure I wasn't nuts. Come on, ain't nothing worse than a loose nut, right? So now, he said, okay, now we're gonna actually put fuel in this machine. We're going to check the tires. They did a whole check in just about 3 minutes, and then I was ready to go again. That's exactly what Growth Track does. How many weeks are you going to go before you connect with God, connect with people, discover your purpose, and make a difference? Today, Sunset, right upstairs, that's where you go. Our city, right, that door to your right, my left right now, that door takes you to Growth Track. Weldon, there, Ferguson, there, ask where it's at. And the people will help you connect with God, connect with people, discover your purpose, and make a difference. And you can say, no, I don't need to go to a pit stop. Pride will keep you back. It'll wreck you. So many times, as pastor of a church of almost 20,000 people, every week somebody comes up to me crying, oh, my wife left me. All I said was, no, that's not all you said. What you said was, God's not important. Why? Because baseball's more important. What you said was, I loved you, but I don't know that I love you now because actually I've traded images for intimacy. Now I no longer connect with you. We don't wreck ourselves overnight. It's because the Holy Spirit is speaking to us saying, slow down, go to the pit stop, take the next step, get with me. I'm begging you today before you ruin your life. I'm saying the reason why I give my life to gospel ministry and preaching the gospel is because I love you and I don't want to see you go down that path. I want you to go down the path of power and purity and promise. Somebody help me right now because God loves you and I love you. But check yourself before you get in too much pride because pride goes before destruction. Last scripture real fast, Proverbs 16:18. Pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. Better it is to be of the humble spirit with the meek and the poor than divide the spoil with the proud. I believe that God wants to bless you, but I believe he will not raise you up to mess you up. Somebody ought to Instagram that. He will not raise you up to mess you up. If he knows you can't handle it, he's not going to take you there. And he's told me so many times, if you don't judge yourself over here, I'm going to decrease the anointing on your life. If you don't make this adjustment, even here, you know, right now, streaming to you in St. Louis, I was so scared to do that because I felt like that my presence was so necessary at all the campuses. And then God spoke to me and he said, listen, what I have to do in this church right now is going to be you speaking for me. And your presence isn't necessary, but my presence is necessary. And it's been a bold step of faith that scared me. But I'm telling you, I'm going to obey God. It's going to take the church to a new level. We will go and do what God has commissioned us to do. Somebody shout amen today. Because we need to be able to do this, this, and that. And then we're getting ready for a revival. God spoke to me at the beginning of the year at about 4 o'clock on a Sunday and said, go to church right now at Earth City. Earth City, you know this. I got on Instagram and I announced it. And for many days, we had an outpouring of the Spirit. We don't have church on Sunday night. We did. We don't have church on Monday night. We did. We had church Tuesday night, Wednesday night. People come out of wheelchairs. A girl that was catatonic in the hospital, St. Louis Children's Hospital, her mom was just playing the video from Sunday night. She was unresponsive, but on Tuesday, she started, responding. Tuesday night, I believe, or Wednesday night, one of those nights, we said, hey, let's go FaceTime her. She was up, and we started singing right there at Earth City, and we had her on the screen, and we started prophesying that tomorrow you're coming to the hospital. The next day, she sent us a video from the phone as she's pushing her wheelchair out of the hospital. That happened. It's factual. It's documented. Somebody ought to give us a big praise. It'd be a bigger deal if it was your daughter. God spoke to me during that time to shut it down. He said, that's it. He said, that's enough. I'm going to visit you again in the fall. I wondered if it'd be September and it wasn't. I wondered if it'd be October and it wasn't. But he spoke to me and said, in November, I'm going to visit. I don't know when it's going to be in November, but I'd have your notifications on because we're going to have a multiple day outpouring of the Holy Spirit that's going to hit. I know it's going to happen in Sunset Hills and we'll stream it everywhere. But I'm here to tell you right now it's going to happen and we got to get ready for it. I want you fasting. I want you praying. I want you doing all the things we talked about with the social media, the Spotify. How many of y'all participating in all this? Because if you draw nigh to God, he'll draw nigh to you. One last stop, we got to go. We're going one more time out to the racetrack. Check this out.
All right. I tell you one thing I didn't realize is how hot it was in there. It was intense. It was stressful. There was a lot of adrenaline, and I wouldn't want to live my life that way. I'm kind of ready to get back in my SUV and just drive like a normal guy. It was very intense having the throttle down the whole time. One of the things that he was telling me to do was like, don't slow down at all. Just keep going. Just keep going. And I think that's good for sometimes, but there's sometimes in your life you got to have somebody telling you slow down just a little. Throttle back a little bit. So that's what today's talk was really about, is making sure the ride of pride, be careful that your pride doesn't get you. Also, a thing, speaking of pride, in which I knew my wife was out there, and she was going, and I thought, man, I can't let her beat me, because Lane, my friend, said, Nicole, you got to make sure she doesn't beat you. But when I first got out there, I was worried about hitting the wall. I was thinking about the other drivers who are here all the time, where it's really for real racing, and they're passing people, and people are passing them. How scary must that be? There was only a few of us out there today, so it was less risky. And I was just kind of getting used to the moment. And then I thought, wait a minute, my competitive thing kicked in, and I'm like, I've got to go. I need to go. And of course, you know me, I wanted to Instagram the whole thing, but it's illegal. But here's my big point. I could actually feel a little bit of pride going, I don't want Nicole to beat me. I don't want other people to beat me. Here's my point. Run your race. Don't allow pride to keep you back. What I really wanted you to do today is learn to listen to that boss up top talking to you in your ears very clearly so you finish strong and you don't end up, you know, 180 miles an hour upside down calling in the paramedics, because we're not going to allow pride to trip us up and cause us to crash and burn.